You are Locked On Blue Jays, your daily podcast on the Toronto Blue Jays, part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day.
Hello, Blue Jays fans, and welcome to Locked On Blue Jays, your daily dose of Toronto Blue Jays talk directly into your headspace, part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day. I'm your host, AJ Andrews of JaysFromTheCouch.com, and this episode is brought to you by Rock Auto. Amazing selection, reliably low prices, all the parts your car will ever need. Visit RockAuto.com and tell them Locked On sent you. I don't know about their tire selection. I'm a little beat. I had to lug tires to the car and then drive the car to the mechanic and then walk all the way from the mechanics to back to my apartment because there's no way I'm getting a cab because there's a deadly virus variant going through my city and I don't need any of that. So I'm a little beat, but thankfully I have some help on this episode so I don't have to carry everything by myself like I usually do. Joining me in a crossover I thought was pretty appropriate as the two teams are currently playing in the Bay Area, actually playing right now at the time of recording, I believe. But joining me from the Locked On A's podcast on the Locked On Podcast Network, making its Locked On Blue Jays debut, it is Jason Burke. Jason, thank you for joining me today. Welcome to the program. Glad you could be on here with me.
Thank you so much for having me. I'm very, very excited to talk about the Blue Jays, who are one of those teams that I thoroughly enjoy just because I love youth movements. And what better youth movement than the Toronto Blue Jays right now, you know, just as a baseball fan. So I'm very excited to talk about whatever we're going to talk about.
For the listener at home who cannot actually see the recording process, Jason is fully decked out in Blue Jays gear, making him yet another Locked On podcast host that truly appreciates the Blue Jays. So, you know, we're like everyone's favorite, like, yeah, I just want to see them do good team. You know, no one hates us. They're just like, true. Oh, they're the lovable Canadians. Hopefully they do well. But yeah, this heading into this series, Jason, I'm going to admit, I will be honest to your face because that is what this podcast does. We tell truth. I didn't think Oakland was going to be good this year. Like there were a lot of question marks about this team. Just like, you know, you brought in a bunch of veterans, like how much could you get out of Jed Lowry? Are you really going to miss Marcus Semien and Liam Hendricks? Like just the additions and the subtractions didn't really seem like they added up to a team that was going to win like 13 in a row. So let's just start there. How is Oakland so good right now? How is Oakland, I think I can say, the best team in the American League right now?
Well, heading into the season, I know that they lost some key players, but I think that that's kind of the national media narrative and also the local media narrative. It's not my narrative. The A's obviously lost Liam Hendricks. He's been a very, very good reliever for the last couple of years for the A's. And the A's weren't going to resign him anyway. He was going to make too much money. But they got Trevor Rosenthal, which made it look like on paper they could actually have a better bullpen potentially. And their bullpen hasn't been nearly as dominant as it was last year, but Lou Trevino has broken out and kind of taken over the Liam Hendricks role. So now you're trying to just replace a lesser reliever, and they're using different guys like Deolis Guerra, who is apparently still in baseball and pitching fairly well right now for the A's. So they've got some guys that are reliable and can get you those wins when you need them. They just don't have the depth that I think that they've had before, but they can mix and match those areas. Marcus Semien is definitely being missed right now because they replaced him with Elvis Andrus, who has not been fantastic. But and also, Marcus is beloved in Oakland. He grew up in the area. You saw the video tributes that they were giving him before yesterday's game when he was making his initial return to the Bay Area. People just love Marcus. He's a great guy. He's a quiet team leader. You can't really say enough about what he did on the field and what he meant to the community. But yeah, I mean, overall, I think that with bringing in Andrews, if he can be roughly what Chris Davis was last year, and then you get Mitch Moreland at DH, on the aggregate, they could be just as good as last year. And that team, so if you look at it from that perspective, as opposed to they lost these guys and they were really good, and how are they going to do this? They have basically a very similar team that they've had the last few years when they've won 97 games each and every year. And right now at 18-12, they are on pace to win 97 games again. Are they going to win 97? Probably not. Are they going to be probably a lot better than the 78 win projection that they had before? Definitely. Yeah. I don't know why you would take a 97 win team 3 years in a row and say that they're going to win 19 less games. That doesn't make any sense. That's bad projectioning. And that's where I stand on that. The 13 game win streak, a little bit of luck involved. There was definitely a couple that just balls were bumbled, and they ended up winning the game somehow. So it should have ended a couple times, but they got to 13. It made it look nice. Not a lot of pub. People heard about it, but not a lot. So good times. So that's I think that's the answer to your question right there.
Yeah, I wanted to actually touch on Semien a bit, because obviously he's the big storyline. Like you said, Oakland boy, got to play for a team close to his heart, got to play for them for so long, and then goes on the one-year deal to Toronto. Coming back, just can you elaborate how important Semien was to the growth of this A's team over the past few years, and what it's like seeing him in a color other than Oakland gold or Oakland green?
I mean, I don't want to admit this necessarily, but as long as I don't like retweet the episode, he looks really good in blue. So I'm not really mad at the colors that he's wearing necessarily. He's pulling it off really, really well. But he was traded for when the A's made all of their moves, when they broke apart their last, big team in 2014. They traded Jeff Samardzija over to the White Sox, and they got Marcus Semien and some other guys. And he was kind of like the guy that was there through the tough times. And then they got good. And he was, you know, he wasn't like the star of the team, but he was, you know, he was good. He was at least league average. He wasn't embarrassing anybody, Elvis Andrus. And so that was nice. And then you were hoping that, you know, hometown guy who had a top three AL MVP finish just a couple of years ago, hopefully the A's could, you know, give him something on a 1 year, maybe a 2 year deal. And I think that the Blue Jays paid a decent amount for him, and the A's don't really pay that much for players at all, because whenever they do, it does not work out. So you could see the writing on the wall to a degree, but at the same time, it's Marcus Semien. He had been a pillar in the community, and he'd been great. He'd worked his butt off to get to where he is now, and you were hoping that maybe, just maybe, this would be the guy that the A's shell out money for, and it ended up not being him, but We still love Marcus. Everybody gave him a standing ovation. He's a fantastic guy, so can't really say anything bad about him.
He's come across very well in the interviews we've been able to see of him and hear from him. Can see why, like, you know, he was beloved by the A's. And if you want to impress your beloved, what you need to do is you need to check out the collection at BlueNile.com. They have this 10-10 collection. It's 10 creative styles of diamond rings designed by 10 of the most distinctive designers working today. They use diamonds that are responsibly sourced from Botswana. So, you know, you don't have Leonardo DiCaprio or Brad Pitt coming at you, you know, for the blood diamonds. I forget who's in that movie. Jason, do you remember who's in that movie?
I remember Leo, and that's it. I definitely avoided that movie.
Yeah, I think it's Leo, but either way, you will not have one of the leading men of Hollywood coming after you with these beautiful rings, unless they want to know where you got it and how they can get it for their special person. So you can tell them that they're only available through Mother's Day at BlueNile.com. You just search the words 10x10 in there, and you will find a perfect, unique ring that the special person in your life will be able to treasure forever. They won't be around for long. So find them now by searching the words 10x10 only at BlueNile.com. This episode is also brought to you by Sports Trade. Have you heard about Sports Trade? Jason, have you heard about Sports Trade?
I have. It seems interesting at the very least. I'm intrigued in stock market and taking things to the moon. So sports trade is, it seems interesting to me. I gotta say.
Gotta have those diamond hands, especially when sports trade is involved. It takes fantasy to the next level. Their platform allows you to buy and sell shares in your favorite players, just like real stocks. I've always wanted to have the joy of fantasy sports meshed with the joy of Wall Street. So it's very simple. Their stock rises and falls based on two factors. One, their statistical performance, and two, supply and demand. The more demand a player has, the higher their value goes. When you're ready to buy shares, you can pick a rookie who you think is going to break out, or grab a blue chip vet who's always a solid performer. You can instantly buy and sell the shares, then watch your players battle and your portfolio value rise. Go to sportstrade.com, watch the How It Works video, and then sign up today to discover the fun and excitable new world of sports trading, the evolution of fantasy sports. Don't sit on the sidelines any longer. Get in the game at sportstrade.com. All right, Jason, as I said when we were recording this, we started with the J's and A's off to a fresh start. As we start the second segment, it's not so fresh. Anthony Kay has performed as expected of Anthony Kay so far this season. He's buried the Blue Jays in a 4-0 hole, thanks to a double from Jed Lowrie. And of course, Mitch Moreland, no matter what jersey he's wearing, just wrecks the Blue Jays. With a
great time, AJ.
Oh my God. I thought it was done. I kidded Gab from Locked On Red Sox. Thankfully, I don't have to worry about Mitch Moreland with you guys anymore when you traded him to San Diego. No, he's got to come back to the American League and do this. Like, my God.
I do have a question, though, actually, about the Jays. Anthony Kay is not generally in the rotation, right? Because I kept looking at the roster resource page on Fangraphs, and they had, like, two people in the rotation. And then it looks like Ryu is going to come back on Thursday. But who else is usually in the rotation? I know that you guys have had so many injuries, so...
So we've had three mainstays so far. Hyunjin Ryu, who is hopefully coming back on Thursday for that finale. Steven Matz, who y'all blew the doors off yesterday. And Robbie Ray, who I believe is pitching tomorrow. Yeah.
And he's looked kind of decent so far. He's not walking the entire world, just a couple of guys.
No, aside from that one start where he walked like twice as many guys as he struck out, he's looked very good. You know, he looked like Steven Matz did before he had to face the Nationals again, and the Nationals just bashed him like they did all of last year. I'm swear, if we pitch Steven Matz against another NL East team, we're just not doing it right. But yeah, obviously the injuries and just non-performance have taken a good chunk of this rotation out. Tanner Roark was DFA'd because Big Diesel kept breaking down very easily. And unfortunately, it didn't break down to the point where, you know, he'd go on the IL and we wouldn't have to worry about it. No, he kept breaking down to the point where he would just give up another four home runs and just be like, why is he here? So he's gone. Ross Stripling's come back off the IL, but he's not much better. He's only better because he's cheaper. So the big positive for the rotation is that Nate Pearson actually pitched today at AAA. Made his 2021 debut. He threw 78 pitches, 53 of them for strikes. Was working with a pretty tight zone there at AAA, but he struck out 8 batters in 3 2/3 innings. And that is the tantalizing, exciting part.
Call him up.
We want him up. We just need to make sure he's actually ready to go. But this is a strong start. They're going to work him up to 100 pitches just to make sure he's healthy enough. He's still feeling all right. Because we don't need the same thing happening to him that happened to George Springer, where, you know, we try and rehab him for one thing and then something else happens and, you know, we just can't use him. That's not what we need at this point. So hopefully Pearson will be ready to come up at some point later this month, maybe in June. And then we'll probably have to trade for someone. Like, I don't really know who'd be available right yet, just because, you know, it's still early. We don't know which teams have given up besides the Pirates. And honestly,
I have two answers potentially that would make you get, because really a couple of pieces is all you really need at this point, especially if Julian Merriweather comes back. He looked really good.
We want him for the bullpen, though, because much like you, our big ticket closer that we signed needed Tommy John, so he's not actually pitching for us.
Yeah, that was a blow to my fantasy team, and I'm sure that the Blue Jays also didn't like that one, too.
Yeah.
I drafted him everywhere. I was like, yeah, look. But last week, there was a lot of speculation that Max Scherzer could be traded, and I think that Max Scherzer would be a huge addition to the Blue Jays. And I think that they would go after him too. Like, they would legitimately try. Whether or not the Nationals actually try to trade him is an entirely different situation. But I think that would be a very nice addition. Who wouldn't like Max Scherzer? But another one, which we'll see, because nobody knows what's going on in Colorado, but Ramon Marquez would be another solid addition for the team. If you had one of those two guys, Blue Jays in the playoffs, nasty. I'm scared. And get ready for get ready for the ALCS against the A's, and then the A's will make it. But, you know, otherwise.
I literally was about to say Ramon Marquez. Before, you know, you distracted me with talking Max Scherzer. You know who'd want to be on the Blue Jays? Max Scherzer, because that means he wouldn't have to face Vladdy. He'd be on his team. So that ERA might look a little better. But yeah, Marquez has been on the radar for Blue Jays fans since Nolan Arenado said he wanted out, because that was a sign that, okay, Colorado is going to be bad for a long time, so let's do that. One other name I'll probably throw out there, and it's a familiar name to Blue Jays fans, because the last time they traded for a starter of Max Scherzer's caliber was when they acquired David Price from Detroit. And in that deal, they sent over Daniel Norris, Hyra Laborte, and Matt Boyd. And Matt Boyd has become a very serviceable starter. I would have to imagine that given Detroit's off to an 8-21 start, Boyd would still be available if they wanted to approach the Tigers. And he seems to be doing all right this season. He seems to have worked out a lot of the kinks that were plaguing him in 2020. The only real issue is that would be four lefties in the rotation. And I'm not sure if the Blue Jays really want to go that lefty heavy, but at the same time, I mean, you get the best guys you can for as little an asset cost as possible. And I think the Tigers, they would be happy. I don't know. They'd probably be happy with like TJ Zoik and Ty Tice, you know, just yeah, something. Okay. Yeah. Yeah. Just something. No, I'm joking. They probably asked for Simeon Woods Richardson or Alec Manoa, but yeah, that's something the Blue Jays are going to have to look at. They didn't make any of the big trades in the offseason. The Steven Matz deal was the only one they did, and they gave up like a bunch of spare parts. It was actually the biggest thing they got out of that was 40-man roster space. Mm-hmm. And Steven Matz looked really good for the first four starts. I still think he's going to win 15 games. Don't at me. but yeah, they do need to find someone else. I don't know. Maybe Minnesota will keep tanking and we can start raiding them. Who knows?
They have some nice pieces that some teams would like. I don't think that they're going to get rid of like Barrios or Buxton, obviously, but maybe Donaldson. Maybe. I mean, I know that he doesn't necessarily fit with what you guys are doing, but you know,
we do need a third baseman. No, I'd be looking more at, like, I don't know if Kenta Maeda would really be available. The Twins probably want to re-sign Maeda, but
Taylor Rogers.
He wouldn't be bad on the yeah. I mean, it's a little early to be window shopping for deadline acquisitions, but I mean, we can do that. Like if, all right, I'll turn the table a little bit, Jason. Okay. Oakland's looking good. They're 18-12, going on 19-12 as we record this, because yeah, after watching Danny Jansen round out again, I have little faith that the Blue Jays are going to win this game. So if you were to make one trade, a feasible deadline deal, you're not getting Mike Trout, slag off. But if you were to target someone for Oakland to improve and make that postseason run, where are you aiming?
It depends on position wise, because feasibly the A's could go get Trevor Story if they wanted to. They could make the prospects work, because you only need like a ham sandwich to trade with the Colorado Rockies. So I'm pretty sure that they got somebody in Oakland that can make a decent ham sandwich, but it's the money. He's owed a decent amount of money, and his ownership would they be open to adding that much money to the books? They should. It'd be nice, but then also Elvis Andrews is still here for next year as well, and he has some stipulations in his contract where he has to get to a certain amount of plate appearances for his vesting option to vest in 2023, so he could maybe get some legal ramifications if they're just pushing him to the side, even though he hasn't been great. So it gets tricky if you start trying to replace shortstop without like a platoon partner kind of thing. I think that like Miguel Rojas of the Miami Marlins would be a very nice fit for the A's right now. Aram doesn't want to trade him to me, but I'm going to take him anyway. But I think that the A's need that shutdown ace starter. And I don't know where you get those except for Max Scherzer, who the A's aren't going to pay. So I don't know. So I think that they're going to do some stuff around the edges and get some nice under the radar acquisitions. I've been looking and I still can't find anybody that I'm like, yeah, that one seems reasonable, except for Miggy Rojas. That's the only guy that I'm like, yeah, that would be a very nice addition. And then the A's don't really have any holes in their lineup really, as long as they're healthy. So I think that's kind of the one that you go with, and then you see what happens.
Yeah. Like I was trying to look through and I'm like, I don't know, maybe do they need like another outfield piece if they want to keep like Jed Lowry as a DH and have Tony Kemp at second, maybe like that fourth outfielder type that, you know, can give you a bit of speed off the bench, maybe.
They've got some guys in the minors that have some speed. So depending on what the roster situations are, they can get some guys that have speed and defense as, you know, a fourth or a fifth outfielder. But as of right now, I don't know that they're going to pay for it. We don't know how their bats are though, so it'd be basically defense and that's it. So
yeah,
it's like interesting.
Yeah,
and I think a lot of it depends on how Trevor Rosenthal actually, if he's going to be okay by the end of the year or, you know, August. If he comes back and he's looking good, that'd be great, but also you can't make trades too much longer after he comes back, so you're kind of just, what are we going to get? Let's go one way or the other. And if he's looking great, then all of a sudden the A's have a very nice bullpen. But if he doesn't come back, or he comes back and he's not great, then they're kind of screwed. So maybe something in the bullpen too, but they've got, and also maybe Jed Lowry insurance, because who knows if he's going to make it through the entire season. So yeah, they've got some things that they can do. They've been playing very, very well right now, but yeah, I love making trades. I love just DMing people and be like, hey, can we have this guy? Would that be fine? Are they available? I've definitely done it for you.
I can confirm Jason has DM'd me multiple times on Twitter being like, hey, would you actually trade for AJ Puck? And I'm like, not really.
Usually my target is Lourdes Gurriel too, so.
Yeah, because Lourdes would be perfect for you because he's kind of good and doesn't cost a lot of money, but that's also why the Blue Jays are holding on to him for now. So yeah, I was going to say, you could probably get Anthony Alford for cheap from Pittsburgh, especially since he got DFA'd when Pittsburgh took Kai Tom off you. But
yeah, Pittsburgh right now, they have, until they got, who was it? Dustin Fowler got DFA'd, I believe, too. They had 2/3 of outfielders, or DFA'd a couple of guys, and 2/3 of their outfield was outfielders that had been DFA'd by the A's. And I found that very interesting for no apparent reason.
Oh my God, Pittsburgh. That's almost like when we were laughing at Milwaukee for having like 2/3 of their outfield be former Blue Jays and like not even the good ones. It was Billy McKinney and Derek Fisher. Thankfully they signed Jackie Bradley Jr. And like, yeah, we don't actually really want Derek Fisher, but we have him anyway.
Actually, fun Derek Fisher story. I'm pretty sure it was him and not JD. No, it was definitely Derek Fisher. I was watching him in the fall, before the Fall Stars game in 2015, I believe, in Arizona. And they were taking BP and we're just sitting around the cage. And him and one of the coaches were just like, hey, I'm going to hit that guy over there beyond the fence. And so they just started like aiming for people beyond the fence. And it was hilarious. And I mean, obviously they can like see the ball coming and catch it and stuff like that. But they were like trying to pinpoint where they were going to hit their home runs. And I thought that it was great.
Yeah, that, you know what? I bet they could have actually bet on that on betonline.ag, because it's the fastest and easiest way to bet on all your sports action, no matter what you want to do. Kentucky Derby just ran. I don't know if you knew this, Jason. I actually used to work taking bets on horse races.
Did you?
So, yeah, I worked as a paramutual clerk in university. So I know a bit about horse racing. I don't know if I could have called Medina Spirit, but they don't even know if it's going to run in the Preakness. So if you want to get in on the Preakness, or, you know, you want to bet on MLB, NHL, NBA, you got some USC fights you like, head over to betonline.ag on whatever device you use. You'll get all sorts of news and odds to make an informed decision and get in on the action. If you sign up right now using the promo code Locked On, you actually receive a 50% welcome bonus on your first deposit. So don't sit on the sidelines anymore. This is your chance to get into the game as teams prep for their runs to the playoffs with betonline.ag, your online sportsbook experts. This podcast is also sponsored by our friends at rockauto.com, a family business serving auto parts customers online for over 20 years. RockAuto.com has hundreds of manufacturers in their catalogs, so you can search for everything from engine control modules and brake parts to motor oil to carpet to water pumps with ball bearings that don't seize and explode when you pull into the parking lot of the vet clinic where you have to buy your cat food. I didn't even know that was a thing until I literally heard the pop in my car. But if you go to RockAuto.com, you can get a replacement for it at a reliably low price, because they charge the same no matter who you are, and they charge at a low price, so you don't spend twice as much for the same parts. Go to rockauto.com, see all the parts available for your car or truck, and when they ask, how did you hear about us, right, Locked On in there, so they know that you came from us, and we get credit, and they get credit, and everyone gets to feel good about themselves, you know, kind of like when Anthony Kay is not pitching for the Blue Jays. Anyway. Amazing selection, reliably low prices, all the parts your car will ever need at rockauto.com.
You are Locked On Blue Jays, your daily Toronto Blue Jays podcast. Part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day.
Okay, final segment, Jason. This has been a blast already, so I can't wait to see what you have for the final segment here, as Jed Lowrie proves he is not impervious to damage and lazily flies out to right. Thankfully, no damage done in the third inning against Anthony Kay. But one thing I want to ask before we get into like future seeing, you know, predictions territory, that where you scatter the KFC bones and see where they land. I think that's how they do it. I don't know. I never did it. So one guy who I've been very impressed with for Oakland, and a guy who I've picked up in fantasy, because like, where did this guy come from and why is he actually decent? Cole Irvin, who is starting tonight, funnily enough. But he's looked very good so far. You know, it's been a little bit up and down. He's 2-3 heading into tonight. Gonna be 3-3, because let's face it. but 25 strikeouts against 4 walks in 27 innings heading into tonight's game. What has Oakland done that Philadelphia just couldn't with this guy? Like,
I think that Philadelphia's cursed is, so just removing him from being in that cursed area helped, I believe. But I had him on the show, actually. He had thrown one spring training appearance, and it happened to be where they had StatCast metrics. And I talked about it on the show, and he was like, hey, can I come on the show and like tell you what I was actually doing? I was like, yeah, sure. And he basically confirmed what I had speculated about. He was going more with the sinker and trying to do more ground ball action. He's a very cerebral guy. And so whatever, guys are expecting at the plate, he's going to do the opposite. Like the Rays in his last start, they were geared up for his changeup because that's his swing and miss pitch. And he just got more whiffs on the fastball instead, which means that he was fooling them by just changing speeds. That's all that he does is just change speeds and go to the right locations. And you said that his walk rate's low. It's because he can pinpoint, and he's just good in that regard. He's not going to blow you away. He throws like 91, but he's a very cerebral pitcher. And I was very intrigued. I haven't actually been able to watch the at-bats yet, but him against Vladimir Guerrero Jr., because Cole Irvin has the cerebral aspect, but Vlad can be fooled and still hit anything he wants to. And I don't know. He struck out in his first at-bat. I don't know what he did in the second at-bat. And that matchup to me is very intriguing, because Cole Irvin, if you're not familiar with him, he's probably going to kick your butt pretty good, because he knows what he wants to do. And if you didn't prepare for him, then you're screwed. And he said that he's 2-3, and he just hasn't been getting run support for the most part. The two games that he's won, he's gotten a little bit of run support, and that's been very helpful. And his ERA is a little bit high, or it had been a little bit high, thanks to the Blue Jays. It's not anymore. But yeah, it's because he would leave like a couple of guys on in his first two starts, and the bullpen would allow those guys to come on through. So it looked a little bit more inflated, but he's pitched in every game that he started has been a very, very nice start. Even if he's going like 4 1/3, you're like, hey, I don't know what we're actually supposed to be getting out of this guy, but he's looking really good. And I've been very excited by him, partially because he was on the podcast, but partially because he's arguably the best pitcher in the A's staff right now. And they got him for some cash. So that was, he's been a very nice addition.
Yeah, he just made Bo Bichette look absolutely foolish. Like just going all over the place. He just hung him out to dry on a changeup down in a way that Bo should not have been swinging at.
That's
But that's what Bo Bichette does.
That's what Cole does. He knows hitters' tendencies, and he's just like, yeah, this is, here you go. Yeah. Have fun.
Yeah. Well, that's what I said. Like, Bo gets very aggressive at the plate. I mean, it's why he has success, because he's able to pounce on a lot of stuff early. But when you have a guy who, you know, studies the game, as you're saying Cole has, you know how to pitch around these guys. You can make the calls like that and just make them look silly. And Vladdy's 0-2 against him. He just lined out center. So
I predicted that he would go 1-3 today, just because I was giving Vlad credit, and also he has like a 500 on base. So I was like, I mean, even if Cole Irvin's like having the game of his life, but if he doesn't, I'm definitely going to DM Cole Irvin after this game and be like, hey, how'd you do that? That actually does lead me to a question that I have for you just real quick. And that is Vladimir Guerrero Jr. .. How does he do what he does? This is ridiculous. We're a month in and he's not quite Mike Trout, but he's very close. And he was not near Mike Trout last year. So what's going on with Vlad? What has he changed? Obviously, he lost a little bit of weight, but I don't think that it's just that.
Yeah, a lot of people are gonna point to the losing 40 pounds in the offseason, because that's been the dominant storyline with him. But, you know, I think he needed to struggle. He needed to fail. And you ask Vladdy, like you ask Vladdy Jr., you ask Vladdy Sr., they'll agree. He needed to have that adversity, because coming up through the minors, it was just like, oh, I'm in Dunedin. boom, boom, boom. Oh, New Hampshire, boom, boom, boom. Oh, Buffalo, boom, boom. Like, it was so easy. So coming up to Toronto in 2019, 2020, the first time he actually struggled and had to make changes and had to learn what he had to do to get better. And he spent the entire offseason dedicated to that. Like, he spent the lockdown, by his own admission, sitting around playing video games, watching TV, eating, and not really staying in game shape. He dedicated himself hard. And while he's not playing third base, because that's the one part of his game that doesn't actually work, is him being over at third base, the hitting has been everything we've expected him to have when he was the number one prospect in baseball. So seeing him put it together like that, it gives me hope for the Blue Jays that they have a guy who can literally drag this team to wins, just because so many people in the lineup can't actually do it. So it's just been nice. By the way, Sean Murphy, what's it like having a catcher that can actually hit?
It's cool. I enjoy it. He needs to work on the hit tool a little bit, like getting on base a little bit more often, but yeah, when he goes deep, it goes like 480. He doesn't get cheap home runs, and it is ridiculous. So much fun to watch him, and he's great behind the plate. So whatever he gives you offensively is not like a bonus, because you don't want to have, you know, holes in the lineup. But he's a fantastic catcher. I thoroughly enjoy having him. I worry that he will break down one of these days. He had a collapsed lung. He woke up with a collapsed lung in before spring training, and that was scary. So he just has random freak injuries that happen, and that is not good. His knees, we'll see how those hold up. He's always having something. So when he's on the field, I appreciate him as much as I possibly can, because he is fantastic and I want to see more of him.
Sounds good. So just before we wrap things up here, final prediction. Oakland, currently the best team in the American League. Are they going to end the season as the best team in the American League?
I mean, I think that it'd be silly for me to expect the A's to be in the World Series.
I mean, I know there's going to be some bias, but...
Yeah. Well, just because they usually choke in the playoffs. So unless they make some moves to get to the World Series, I don't know that I can say it just yet. But I think that they can win the division. And I've said that, you know, all offseason. I think that, you know, the Astros are probably more talented than the A's, but their guys get hurt a whole lot more, and they don't necessarily have the depth that the A's do. So, and the Angels, until they actually start threatening, I don't necessarily take them seriously. They'll put up a fight for a minute, but it just seems like they take days off at a time, or weeks off at a time, and it's ridiculous. You can't win the division if you're doing that. So for right now, I think that the A's are still the team to beat after they won the division last year, and they have the most wins in baseball. In baseball, as we're recording this, I haven't actually checked the 4 o'clock games yet. 4 o'clock for me, later for the East Coast.
A little bit.
Yeah, I think that they're pretty good. And I think that the Jays, if they make a couple of moves, they could win their division too. And I'd be very excited about that, because I don't want to see the Yankees in the playoffs anymore. That would be very helpful.
Tied with San Francisco at the time of recording.
Damn.
So, Bay Area. They have
a doubleheader today, too. No.
Bay Area.
They can win more.
Well, you'd actually be tied still, because this game, my God. So you're not worried about Seattle is what I'm hearing.
They do this every year. They start off really, really hot, and they're like, oh, is Seattle for real? And then they're not. And I in a couple of years, or maybe even next year, I'll be like, okay, I think that this is the year for Seattle. But right now, I don't think that they have the pieces there just yet. Next year, depending on, you know, how, you know, Kalenic is developing, and Julio Rodriguez and some of their other guys, Logan Gilbert, all these, however these guys do is how I'm going to be judging this team. But the current group is, they're there for right now, for the most part. I want to see some, how they develop. I think that they could be right around 78 wins, but I don't think that they're going to be, you know, at the 90 win plateau. So,
yeah. All right. Fair enough. So this is the part where we get to the plugs before I let Jason go off. Now that we're nearing the end of this episode, make sure you have the Locked On Today podcast queued up. Today, they answer the question, who is the best superhero in the NBA? Get more of the sports news you need, just like that, in less time on the Locked On Today podcast. Follow the Locked On Today podcast on the Odyssey app or wherever you get podcasts. I'm sure Jason will tell you wherever you can find the Locked On A's podcast and all his work. Jason, please go ahead.
You can follow the podcast at Locked On A's on Twitter and Instagram. I usually am tweeting during these games, but I've been talking with you. I'm parallel to my TV, so I have not been able to see it. But I usually live tweet all the games, and then I am at By Jason B on Twitter, and then the Locker Room app if you guys like doing that. And then just follow the podcast wherever you like hearing podcasts. It's everywhere. And then you can get this voice in your ears, in your headspace, as AJ likes to call it. So thank you for having me.
I can confirm you can find Locked On A's wherever you find Locked On J's, be it Apple Podcasts, Google Podcasts, Stitcher, Spotify, the Odyssey app, stealing your neighbor's Wi-Fi, however you get podcasts. Make sure you subscribe so you don't miss an episode. You can follow the podcast on Twitter and Facebook at Locked On J's. Episode links are usually posted on Twitter. And you can follow me on there at @A_J_Andrews. The underscores are there because Twitter is dumb, but it has people like Jason on it, so it's all right. Jason, again, thank you so much for sticking it out. I will let you get back to live tweeting the game. Again, very appreciative, sir. And that will be it. So for Jason Burke and everyone else on the Locked On Podcast Network and everyone at jasonfromthecoach.com and AJ Andrews, thank you all so much for listening to this episode. And y'all take care.